Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Modi-Trump meeting. America-Hindi bye-bye. The famous Cold War era saying, Rusi-Hindi bye-bye, or Russians and Indians are brothers, might be eclipsed by an American version following Indian Prime Minister Modi's upcoming trip to the U.S. UK, is the Grenfell Tower tragedy a game changer? The tragic deaths of an ever-rising number of people after a sudden fire in London's Grenfell Tower high-rise have galvanized political activists and become a political firestorm for Prime Minister May. And also, Afghanistan. Can a troop surge stop Daesh? Reports indicate that the U.S. is considering a mild surge of 4,000 soldiers to Afghanistan following Daesh's recent gains in the country. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm are the prospects for a deeper U.S.-Indian strategic partnership. The famous Cold War era saying, Rusi-Hindi bye-bye, or Russians and Indians are brothers, might be eclipsed by an American version following Indian Prime Minister Modi's upcoming trip to the U.S. The two sides have been rapidly moving closer to one another on all fronts over the past couple of years, with last summer's signing of the Logistics Exchange Memorandum of Agreement, or LOMOA, representing an unprecedented milestone in their military strategic partnership. The U.S. and India are brought together by several considerations, including shared interests regarding Afghanistan and Pakistan, economic complementarities in the labor and commercial sectors, and serious concerns about China. These three prevailing factors have taken diplomatic, investment, and military dimensions, adding robust versatility to the U.S.-Indian strategic partnership and giving it an enhanced significance as regards 21st century geopolitics in the interconnected Indo-Pacific region. That being said, both countries are still pursuing some independent policies which are at variance with their counterparts' interests. The U.S., for instance, still retains a privileged strategic partnership with Pakistan, at least in the nominal sense, and China is by far its largest trading partner. Moreover, the Trump administration has recently moved to make it more difficult for high-skilled Indian tech workers to get H-1B visas to the U.S., and it's also derisively implied that India agreed to the Paris Climate Change Accords only because of financial incentives. As for New Delhi, it too counts Beijing as its largest trading partner, so there are obvious limitations to how far it can move against China's interest. In addition, India has a very positive relationship with Iran, in spite of the occasional disagreement. And it plans to build the North-South Transport Corridor through the Islamic Republic in order to deepen its economic relations with Russia as well. Speaking of Moscow, India has a legacy of friendship with Russia, which is seen most visibly through the military sphere, though the overall state of their relations has been undergoing a readjustment of sorts over the past year. To return to the U.S.-Indian strategic partnership, it shows promise for both sides due to unmistakable economic-military convergences. The U.S. has a positive attitude towards the joint Indian-Japanese-Asia-Africa Growth Corridor, also known as the Freedom Corridor, which all sides hope will compete with China's New Silk Road. Furthermore, India's unique designation as the U.S.'s major defense partner pairs well with LOMOA in crafting the synergy that both sides need to counter China. So folks, opening up our first part of Trendstorm this week, we are joined by Mr. Scott Rickard. He's a former American intelligence linguist and geopolitical analyst. Hello, Scott, and welcome to Trendstorm. All right, Scott, how do you foresee the U.S.-Indian strategic partnership evolving, and what envisioned role does India have when it comes to the U.S.'s desire to contain China?
Well, actually, India and China have had a traditionally competitive nature between their foreign relations, obviously, and their economics. So anything that India can do to help, I would say, influence American relations with China would be in their benefit. And I think that what we see here with India is they've been a pretty close partner with the West when it comes to trade, obviously. And they've also been a pretty close partner when it's come to energy. So I think what India has done is India's played both sides of the fence, just like the United States and the United Kingdom have done with India, to work with partners specifically like Russia and other partners, certainly in the energy industry, certainly Iran and others, to make a concerted effort to not take sides. Certainly from a military perspective, India has taken sides on the imports with the United States and Israel providing most of their military infrastructure. But at the same time, they've been very close traditionally with Russia, given their that adversarial nature, obviously, with the United Kingdom at one point, and then certainly their adversarial nature with China.
Okay, so are there any strategic outcomes that you might be expecting from the upcoming meeting? I mean, in terms of tangible benefits or deals, I mean, I know that they're talking about a possible export of a naval version of the Predator drones, but do you basically see a strengthening of the military partnership? Do you see maybe improvement in economic relations? Is there anything that's on your radar concerning this upcoming trip?
Well, you know, strategic, you know, kind of makes me laugh because I think about the person that he's going to meet with, and obviously that it doesn't have a whole lot of strategy behind that kind of approach at this point from the U.S. administration perspective. But from India's perspective, absolutely strategic for them because they're, you know, bolstering their relationship with someone that's very easily manipulated. And they'll be able to get their best deals actually from that individual because that individual, thinks that every deal he does is the greatest deal that's ever been done. And, you know, when you look at India, they've been extremely strategic in the energy industry. You know, they import nearly $200 billion worth of raw materials in the energy industry. And then they export, I think it's somewhere around $60 to $70 billion worth of materials after it's been refined. So, you know, they're competing on a world stage in a pretty good fashion. The energy industry, even though they're not producing the energy, they're actually an importer. And I think that that will maintain the relationship pretty strong with the West because the West controls the energy industry as well as the finance industry. And if you look at the kinds of conversations that he'll be having with the administration, obviously that's been a major focus of U.S. Foreign policy and U.S. Relationships. That being said as well, the United States is a pretty major recipient of Indian exports. And given the comparison, it's probably 10 times more than what, say, Russia imports from India. And vice versa, obviously, India imports quite a bit more. I think Russia only gives under probably $2 billion exports to India, whereby the United States is, once again, more than 10 times that as well.
Okay, one of the interesting things that strikes me as pretty curious is right now India is embracing globalization precisely at the moment that the U.S. is at least visibly attempting to withdraw from it under Trump. So what middle ground do both sides need to reach in order to most efficiently tap into the economic complementarities and maximize some of the benefits that you were describing?
Well, obviously, on the surface, it may look like the United States is moving away from globalization. That's more rhetoric. Obviously, from a business perspective, the United States is massively entrenched in globalization. Certainly, India is making the right move in the globalization stage. Obviously, they have a tremendous amount of individuals who are incredibly educated. I can't tell you from personal experience, it's just been amazing to see the immigrants from India and from other countries, but certainly from India. These students come to the United States. They just do a tremendous job with their educations. Many valedictorians leave their classes and they move on. You know, if you look at the SAISA Institute and you look at Tufts University, they move on not only in the technology industries, but they move on into the diplomatic corps. So I think what we see in the United States from a strategic perspective, you know, India is extremely strategic, very much like Israel is very strategic in the United States in the commerce industry, as well as in the political industry, and certainly in the technology industry is what they're really well known for. So what I see is from a strategic perspective, India is absolutely on track. Obviously, they're silent about what they're doing. And then when you look at the United States, more vocal, but not representative of the actual push for globalization.
All right, Scott. Well, thank you very much for this in-depth explanation of U.S.-Indian relations, as well as giving us an indication of what to look forward to during this visit.
Trendstorm.
And now we're going to swing over to the subcontinent and speak to Ms. Chandra Rekha. She's an associate fellow at the Center for Air Power Studies in India. All right, Chandra, how does India plan to balance its relations with Russia and the U.S., and what's your assessment on the success of New Delhi's multi-alignment so far?
Let me start by saying that India's partnership with Russia and the U.S. traverses the field of politics, defense, economics, science and technology, nuclear, energy security, and strategic engagement. So here we can see that India is pursuing a pragmatic foreign policy where we have balanced the relations with Russia and the U.S., ways in which if either side is not in a position to address our inadequacies, the other always remains as a potential alternative in order to keep the momentum going for the overall development of our country. Now, both U.S. and Russia, too, have prioritized their energies, resources, and focuses in assisting India achieve its goals. Now, having said that, India has so far managed to avoid any diplomatic awkwardness by carefully and cautiously balancing the interests of both the countries, given the hostility and tensions that both Russia and the U.S. international relations. We have also ensured that we do not put all the eggs in one basket, having learned from our past experiences. But I would like to stress here that Russia is our time-tested friend and will continue to be our most special and reliable partner. But as far as India and the U.S. relations are concerned, it is still in the process of establishing a strong bilateral partnership, as there is nothing substantive that has taken place so far in the engagement. In fact, the upcoming visit of Prime Minister Modi to U.S. will be interesting, given the fact that his recently concluded Russian visit has raised the benchmark and expectations once Modi meets Trump, who seems a little hostile to some of the agreements signed between the U.S. and India by his predecessors, which have been the bedrock for the rapprochement between the two countries. So it will take a lot for the U.S. if it is to eclipse the current reinvigoration in India-Russia strategic partnership. As regards to the success of multi-alignment, India has a vision that is shared by many of its partners, including Russia and the U.S. So through multi-alignment, we are part of various multilateral organizations such as BRICS and SCO. The nuclear deal with the U.S., for instance, has given us the exceptionalism status for nuclear technology transfer despite not being a member of NPT. So that there are many such things that have worked in favor of India's national interests and global aspirations. Hence, for me, multi-alignment so far has been more rewarding and effective to a large extent.
Okay, Chandra, thank you very much for explaining that. Now, the next thing I want to ask you about is China, because, I mean, we can't get rid of the China factor here, whether we're talking about India's relations with Russia or with the U.S. And some in China are concerned that India's trilateral partnership with the U.S. and Japan is aimed at creating the foundation for an anti-Chinese coalition. So how valid do you think these fears are, Chandra? And is there anything that India can realistically do to manage China's threat perceptions?
India is well aware, carefully monitoring its growing proximity with U.S. and Japan with anxiety. It sees as an anti-Chinese coalition. But what we should also realize is that China, too, has its own anti-India coalition and anti-India interests, such as its all-weather partnership with Pakistan, its insensitivity to India's concern over the CPEC, which passes through Pakistan-occupied Indian territory, refusal to give India membership in NSG are some of the instances which I can highlight just to show that how unwilling China has been to accommodate India's regional and global interests. So an engagement of this sort by India with the U.S. and Japan is nothing but a counter-reaction to the aggressive posturing of China as a regional player, especially its inroads into the Indian Ocean region. So in this regard, we share common interests and concerns with these countries. That is, we counter China's not-so-benign rights in Indo-Pacific region. But at the same time, I would also like to stress that India does not see its relations with China through the prism of the U.S. or any other player, but it is purely based on its past and present experiences with China at the individual level. Simultaneously, China and India are also responsive to maintaining conversation as the two countries reach out for trade, investment, resources, etc., despite the differences, hostility, and concerns. Apart from this, both India and China are active members of multilateral forums such as BRICS and SCO that challenge the very basis of Western-dominated international system. With regard to India realistically dealing with Chinese threats, at the domestic level, I can say with confidence that we are doing our best to insulate our own economic growth, military modernization process and preparedness, not to forget our focus in increasing our influence in our immediate and extended neighborhood. But at the same time, we will also not rule out smart diplomacy options, which is the key where despite our differences, we continue to keep conversation and engagement in prospective spheres of cooperation such as economic relations, combat the rise of terrorism, regional security and stability in Asia. After all, we are one of the main factors for the rise of Asian century concept, and for it to become a reality in coming future, we need to have a stable Asian region. So for me, the role of India and China is very crucial in this regard. But by doing so, India is not in any way going to compromise on its territorial integrity, national sovereignty, and strategic autonomy for that matter. The refusal to participate in the recently held Belt Road Initiative Forum is a case in point where India made its stand clear. You see, India is the only major power that refused to participate in the Belt Road Initiative Forum organized by China, while countries such as Russia and the U.S. had participated. What this conveys is that whether the global community is with us or not, India is on its own in deterring China's assertive foreign policy and ambitious project that threatens India's interests. So the bottom line here is that we know the Chinese are not 9 feet tall.
All right, Chandra, well, thank you very much for explaining the Indian position on things. We appreciate it.
Trendstorm.
Now, if we think back on what Scott and Chandra shared with us today, I think that, yes, there are a lot of grounds for optimism that India and the U.S. are going to be deepening their military, strategic, and also possibly even economic relations during Prime Minister Modi's upcoming trip to the U.S. However, that being said, there still are some convergences between them, some things that they don't necessarily see eye to eye on. So we'll have to see whether or not America Hindi bye-bye ends up eclipsing Rusi Hindi bye-bye. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.